Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness.
The Bible contains remarkable stories of miracles and divine interventions. Moses parted the sea. Peter healed a man lame from his mother's womb. Jesus drove demons out of people and raised others from the dead. But are these types of events still happening today?
We too have a beam of divine light and guidance that God has put within the heart of every man. And it's one of the greatest proofs that there is a God.
More amazing supernatural things are happening than we realize.
This is Divine Intervention, the interview show that features intriguing people who've experienced the hand of God in amazing ways. Divine Intervention was created and produced with the purpose of encouraging believers, spiritual seekers, and skeptics alike that Jesus is alive and is still performing miracles and working in the world today.
I believe in miracles.
Here's your host, Daniel Fazina.
Hello, friend, and welcome to Divine Intervention Radio. Yes, I am your host, Daniel Fazina. So excited to be with you, so thankful and grateful to be able to share this time with you. Friend, I want to encourage you today with an amazing story of a gentleman who has experienced many of God's miracles in the land of China. We'll be speaking with our special guest, Dennis Balcom, who is a missionary to China, in just a moment. But before we do that, I'd like to remind you that you can connect with me on Facebook at facebook.com/Divine Intervention Radio. You can like the page there and keep up to date with all the happenings of Divine Intervention Radio. You can also connect with me on Twitter. You can follow me at DanielFazina1 on Twitter.com. That's at DanielFazina1 on Twitter.com. And of course, all the shows are archived at DivineInterventionRadio.com. You can go there and listen to the shows you missed, and you can also pick up a copy of my new book, Divine Intervention, 50 True Stories of God's Miracles Today. I know it's going to bless you. It's got amazing true stories from all over the world, from answered prayers to near-death experiences to healings, all sorts of things that point to Jesus as the miracle maker and the savior of all mankind. So if you're a believer, it's going to really encourage you and take your faith to another level. And if you're a skeptic, it's really going to challenge you. I encourage you to pick up a few copies and give them away to friends. You know, it's a great witnessing tool for unbelieving friends who may not want to go to church, but maybe they'll read a couple of great stories from an awesome book. So again, the book is Divine Intervention, 50 True Stories of God's Miracles Today. And you can find it at DivineInterventionRadio.com. Okay, friend, we're going to be talking about what God is doing in the Far East today, namely China. Sometimes we think about China being a very closed country with a lot of persecution under the communists. But you know what? Things are changing. Things are opening up. And today's guest is going to provide some evidence of that. I have the privilege of speaking with Dennis Balcom, who was born and raised in California. He moved to Hong Kong in April 1969 and within 8 months launched a revival Christian church. Despite much opposition to Christianity, the church thrived, and after 2 years, it had grown to 100 people. Today, it has more than 700 members, and Dennis has seen God perform many miracles and has also experienced the suffering of the Chinese church as he himself has been detained and imprisoned by the Chinese authorities. As the founder of Revival Chinese Ministries International, he is a sought-after speaker. Dennis lives with his wife, Kathy, in Hong Kong, and they have 2 children and 2 grandchildren. And it's my pleasure to welcome missionary Dennis Balcom right now on Divine Intervention Radio. Dennis, you are on Divine Intervention Radio. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you. I'm so glad to be able to talk to you.
Well, you know, I was very excited to speak with you. I tried to connect with you several years ago when I first saw you on Darren Wilson's excellent film, Finger of God. And I was so intrigued by what the Lord is doing through you and your ministry, Revival Chinese Ministries International. And I definitely wanted to speak with you. But it's all in God's timing. So here we are today. And I want to get into your excellent book, China's Opening Door. But before we do that, why don't you tell us a little bit about your background? Who is Dennis Balcom, and how did you, you know, find the Lord and get this calling into ministry?
Yeah, well, I was, like a lot of Americans, brought up in a traditional church, a Methodist church, which is great, but they didn't really preach being born again or heaven or hell, and I just heard the social gospel. And then I was 16 years old. I went to a spirit-filled church, and there were people being healed and speaking in other languages, and a lot of exciting things happening. And seeing the move of the Holy Spirit really touch me. And I felt at that time that I needed to give my life to the Lord and follow after him. And after 3 months, I gave my life to the Lord, and he called me to be a preacher that very day.
Wow.
I began preaching in school the next day, leading people to the Lord. And after about 2 weeks, he spoke to me, said that he would take me to China, to Red China, we called it, Communist China. Now, that was back in 1961. I was 16. And then in 1969, I actually came to Hong Kong as a missionary. I'd been here before, spent a short time because I was in Vietnam as a soldier, and I came on a, like, R&R vacation. But I came in 1969, started the church, and it was only a few years later, in 1978, that the doors to China opened. And we've been spending most of the last some 36 years in mainland China, as well as Hong Kong, which is the base of our ministry.
That is amazing. So you knew from a very young age, from 16 years old, what your destiny was in reaching the Chinese people with the gospel. But how did you know? I mean, like, how did you said you received your calling at 16? How did you know? How did the Lord speak to you?
You know, well, it's how God leads, you know, both of the Word and the Bible and good solid truth, as well as through, you know, some objective revelations from the Lord. So I knew that when I became a Christian that God wanted me to preach the gospel, and I just thought, well, common sense says I need to go to some other foreign nation because there's a lot of churches and ministry in the United States. So I was just asking, Lord, what nation? And I was thinking of Africa and India and all these nations. So one day I'm studying, doing some schoolwork, and I opened to a chapter in the encyclopedia about China. And I see a picture of a Chinese boy in this article, and I heard the Lord just say very clearly, almost like a voice, but it wasn't the voice that, you know, your friend speaks of, but in your heart, that I want you to go to the People's Republic of China and tell him about my love. Mm. And it was just so clear, and I knew from that very minute that I would spend the rest of my life in China.
That is amazing. You know, a lot of people, they struggle with finding their calling and their destiny in this life, and sometimes it's a lifelong struggle. They don't realize what God has given them to do, and they can't figure it out. For any of those people who are struggling with their destiny and their purpose, what advice would you give them?
Well, when you feel something that you feel the Lord is speaking to you, then you need to confirm it in your heart and then make a goal, make a plan to reach that goal. Tell other people about it and, you know, plan for it. And if it's not the Lord's will, he will definitely let you know and will close the door. But if it's his will, he will open doors and there will be provision and finances. There'll be opposition, of course. But see, perhaps I could have gone to Africa and I've been successful, or India, but I decided I'm going to go to China. And then when you know you have one goal, then you stick to that one goal. So when I came here as a missionary, I told the church that I started, I'm going to be here for all of my life, which happened. And so people would follow after me because they know I'm not here just for a few years. So I think a lot of people, they need just, it's like Paul said, this one thing I do. You need to sit on one thing and then do it. And if it's not of the Lord and, you know, whatever, the Lord will tell you and he will close the door. But quite often, you know, once you determine to do something, you will be amazed how, you know, God will open doors, and then you need to tell other people, confess with your mouth, this is what I feel God's calling me to do, and other people will see that you're really called, and they'll get behind you, you know. So I think that's been one of the keys, is actually confessing it with your mouth, what the Lord has put in your heart.
I love that. And another key of that is what you said, just, you know, get your goal, get one thing, and do it, and that commitment and follow through. I mean, that's so important, I think. If you know where your destination is and you just stick on that path, that God will always, he will make provision for the vision. And I've been finding that very true in my own life. So that's really cool. It's great to see someone who has that vision and who knew from a young age what their destiny was. Very exciting stuff. Friend, we're speaking with Dennis Balcom. He is a missionary to China, and he is the pastor and a head of Revival Chinese Ministries International. His website, again, is rcmi.ac, and we're going to be talking about his wonderful book, China's Opening Door, Incredible Stories of the Holy Spirit at Work in One of the Greatest Revivals in Christianity. It's not only a great report on what the Holy Spirit has done, but it's also a very interesting historical book on the history of China and the church in that nation. So Dennis, before you got to China, you mentioned that you had gone to Vietnam as a soldier, and one of the things I really found interesting is that you knew that God was going to protect you and preserve you throughout the battlefield and throughout your experience there. And that caused you to act with a certain confidence as a soldier while you were there. You know, I've talked to other Vietnam veterans, and they were just hoping and praying that they could get out with just a minor injury, because they said nobody comes out unscathed. But you did. Tell us about that.
Yes. Well, one thing was I'd given my life to the Lord to go to China, and if I ever told people about that in those days, in the 60s, they would laugh at you because it was completely closed.
Right.
But I went to a church where a prophetic ministry that didn't know me at all confirmed that I would go to Red China, Communist China. And, you know, this was a confirmation. And then one of the same prophets, I joined this church, his name is David Schock, and he's passed away several years ago, but a very accurate prophet. And he said that I would go to Vietnam, because I was already drafted into the United States Army shortly after that, and that the Lord would protect me because he was going to take me to China. So, of course, I had faith in my heart, but I had the prophetic word. You know, and it's great to have a prophetic word, and you stand upon the word. And in my book, you will see, I believe that God speaks to people today. You know, there's John MacArthur wrote this book, Strange Fire, that kind of denies the fact that there's miracles and speaking in tongues and revelation from God. But I believe that God speaks to people today, and you see this all over the world. So I had a very certain word from God that I was not going to be injured or die in Vietnam. And so I used that time in Vietnam really as missionary work. You know, I told the other guys, you know, I'm here as a missionary, just that the United States government paid for my round-trip ticket, you know, to come to Vietnam. I just had that faith in my heart, and that gave me boldness, you know, to go out. You know, it sounds foolish in the eyes of people, but that's what faith is. You know, faith is just taking a step. And so my goal wasn't to, you know, survive Vietnam. My goal was to go to Vietnam and to preach the gospel, lead as many people as I could to the Lord, and then find a way where Vietnam could be a stepping stone to China, which, as you see, was in my book, when a man that I went and I met in Hong Kong gave me a prophecy that confirmed my call. So really, it gets back to having the word of the Lord and standing on the word of the Lord in your life.
Hmm. I really enjoyed reading just the fact that, I mean, you just walk through very calmly a firefight where people are shooting at you, and you just calmly walked over, did what you had to do, and you kind of knew that you wouldn't get hit. I mean, I found that quite amazing, and it was reminiscent to me of George Washington, our first president. I had read accounts of him where he would sit on top of his horse during battles, and he had several horses shot out from under him, but he knew what his destiny was, and the Native Americans reported that they would shoot him multiple times and they could never get him, and they came to the conclusion that he was not meant to die in battle.
Yes, that's right. Well, we had to have that faith. You know, it sounds ridiculous to some people, and other people think it's presumption. But, you know, when it's based on the Word of God, and that's like hearing from God and having something based, you know, because I knew the Lord had called me, and it was confirmed by other people, and it would happen. And even when I went to China, you know, before, people said, China will never open up. It's impossible. You can never be a missionary in China. Well, I've been a missionary in China for most of my life right now, you know. Mm. It's because when I was young, there was prophetic word. There was the word in the Bible, you know, that says the gospel is going to preach to every nation, to every creature. And then there was a personal word to me. And I think you need to hear from God today, and that's one of the messages I want people to get in the book if they read it, you know, that God does speak to people definitely today.
That's right. Amen. That's one of the reasons why we do the show Divine Intervention Radio. We want to encourage people to let them know that God is real. He's still doing miracles, speaking in the world today. Friend, I'm your host, Daniel Fazina. We are visiting with our special guest, Dennis Balcom, and he is a pastor and a missionary to China. His website is rcmi.ac, and we're going to be speaking about his new book, China's Opening Door, Incredible Stories of the Holy Spirit at Work in One of the Greatest Revivals in Christianity. Now, Dennis, I understand that China has one of the fastest-growing churches in the world, and much of that might be due to the persecution that the Chinese believers face. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, well, persecution actually is not all that bad. Now, there's been places in the history of the world, like in the Soviet Union and Japan a few hundred years ago, where persecution almost eliminated the church. But persecution seemed, in China at least, you know, to be one of the factors that caused the church to grow. First, it broke down all the denominational barriers, okay? And a lot of those denominations, the missionaries that were in China before, didn't believe in the work of the Holy Spirit, didn't believe in supernatural miracles, you know, very solid evangelical, but really no fire, no revival in their hearts, and they were kicked out. And then when the government formed an official church that at that time could not preach about the second coming, couldn't preach about the divinity of Christ or heaven or hell, so most Christians formed themselves in house churches that were illegal. And then later on in the Cultural Revolution, they put the pastors in prison or put them in labor reform camp. And so the Christians had no pastor nor church building, but they gathered together to pray. And as they were praying, many were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues and began to prophesy. And then, you know, one of the real evidences of the Holy Spirit is not speaking in tongues, but boldness to preach the gospel. Jesus said in Acts 1:8 that when the Holy Spirit comes, you'll have, you know, power to be my witness. So they went out and preached the gospel. And then miracles happened, you know, because they were praying and they had faith and there were miracles. And, you know, and when even communists see the blind eyes are opening, you know, the deaf are hearing, lame people are getting up and walking, cancers are being healed, and even from time to time people raise from the dead. They told me that, you know, communists, they know people have raised from the dead. See, and that is so powerful. And then that really proves that God is alive. Now, this had probably would not have happened had there not been the persecution. So persecution is not always bad. Sometimes it's really one of the keys to see revival come.
Yeah, isn't that an interesting oxymoron maybe, or just a strange thing that God would use or could use persecution? And I've heard it said from other missionaries like in Europe and stuff that communism, while it was evil and bad, was one of the greatest catalysts for the spread of the church in much of the world. And, you know, as an American, it's kind of hard for me to understand that. But you being over there, you've witnessed that.
Yes. And also you understand in China, they had a lot of other religions, you know, Taoism, Confucianism, Buddhism, and this persecution came against all religion, not just Christianity.
Right.
And these other religions basically didn't survive because they had no power. They're just, you know, Buddhism actually came from India. It's not even a Chinese religion. And it was only in China for 2,000 years, and at the end of the Cultural Revolution to this day, it's really not a force to be reckoned in China. So the same persecution that purified and strengthened the church kind of, you know, came against other religions and either eliminated them or made them become very ineffective.
That's interesting to know. Wow. That's actually good news for the church, I would think.
Yes.
And, you know, God is still on the move over there. Again, friend, we're speaking with Dennis Balcom. His book is called China's Opening Door. His website, rcmi.ac. So, Dennis, you talk about some of these miracles. I mean, you mentioned blind eyes being opened and the deaf hearing and even people being raised from the dead. What have you personally witnessed and experienced over there that wasn't like a third-hand or second-hand report?
Yeah, well, I've seen all of those multiple times. I haven't personally seen the dead being raised from the dead before my eyes, but I've met several people who have been raised from the dead and have the testimony of their family and the neighbors and even sometimes the communists that this person was really dead for a long period of time and came to life, and not only were they raised from the dead, but they're completely healthy. So, you know, we've actually recorded many, many such testimonies, and the fact that this is true is because thousands of people are saved in a very short period of time. You know, there has to be some reason that would make the church to explode with growth. And it's because of both the preaching, but then the confirmation of the preaching by the miracles. You know, but I talked to almost anybody in China, you know, even today, I said, why did you become a Christian? And most of them will say it's because of some miracle. Either I personally saw it, or my friend experienced it, or my family experienced it, or I heard about it. So, you know, it's just like in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, it was the confirmation of healings, of miracles, of demons being cast out, and these other things that caused the gospel to be spread.
Do you think in places like China where persecution was very strong as compared to like somewhere in the West, that God kind of almost needed to use miracles to get people's attention or to show them that it was real?
Well, definitely it could be, but see, China, now the miracles don't happen because some famous evangelist comes and have a crusade, because we don't have that in China. It's when the ordinary people go out to share the gospel. And to be honest, a lot of these miracles are not happening in the church. You know, we still have some sick Christians. We don't know why. We pray for them, and some get healed, but some don't get healed. But almost every time they go out to share with the unbelievers or the, you know, people don't know much about God, and their sickness, they will see miracles happen. And it's not just famous evangelists. In fact, quite often it's just ordinary people, you know, middle-aged, older people, young people that are sharing Christ with other people. Hmm. Now, I find this around the world where the church is really involved in evangelizing the lost. That's where you'll see the miracles happen. But to us, you know, we put miracles on a man on the stage, you know, the man of God for the hour, you know, and kind of like a show that is, you know, and some people do get healed. But in places like China, it's the ordinary people that are doing the miracles when they're preaching the gospel. Even if there's not persecution, that will happen.
Hmm, that is awesome. I love to hear stories like that and let people know that God is on the move. And just like the book of Acts, it's being lived out in places all over the world, including communist China. Now, Dennis, I noticed on the back of your book, China's Opening Door, you have a quote from Brother Yun, the heavenly man. I heard a story about a Brother Yun. I don't know if it's the same Brother Yun, but is this the guy who was imprisoned in China and he had like angels come and rescue him and just literally open the doors and he walked out?
Yes. There's a very famous book. It's called Heavenly Man, and this is the same brother. He's in Germany right now, and I see him every few months. We work together because I have a church in Paris, France, and if I go to France, I will cut off and visit him. But yeah, his book is really challenging. Now, his book describes China back in the 80s and the 90s, not China today. China is much more open, which is the title of my book, you know, China's Opening Door.
Right.
So you wouldn't see the persecution in China now that you saw back in his time, especially when he was in the village of Henan. But the stories are true because I've known him since the early 1980s.
And for anyone who's not familiar with that, I mean, it was reminiscent of the Apostle Paul, really, when he was in prison. Can you share what happened to Brother Yun?
Well, he was actually in prison many times, and the Heavenly Man book talks about his last time in prison in the late 1990s when the Lord miraculously somehow the doors were open and he just walked out, you know, and was able to leave the prison. But before that, in the early 1980s, he was in prison, and the Lord led him to fast and to pray, mainly because he didn't want to give the names of the other brothers and sisters because they would probably torture him or interrogate him. So he went on a long fast, and he fasted for, you know, over 70 days. And this was told me by other people that were in that prison, you know, that it's quite well known. It wasn't made up. And because of his fasting and prayer, there's gifts of the Holy Spirit. And to make a long story short, basically, most of the people in the prison got saved, including many communist officials, and came to the Lord. You know, can you imagine being in prison and, you know, it's cold and you're not very, you know, large in the first place, and going for 70 days without food? You know, it was very difficult, but the Lord gave him the strength. And these are some of the miracles that we see. You know, we used to see a lot of people fasting and praying. Even now in China, quite often they give at 5 o'clock in the morning. They pray for a couple hours every morning. You know, so it's the fasting and the prayer, intense prayer. A lot of places in China now have 24/7 prayer mountains and centers. You know, that's why we see the revival, because people are praying. And his main testimony was because of prayer that brought the revival to the prison, and eventually was released after that.
That is amazing. I can't even imagine. 70 days. 70, you're talking. Not 17.
Well, actually, 74 days altogether.
Is that even physiologically possible, to go without food for that long?
It doesn't sound physiologically possible, you know. but you go to India, and Hindus will fast that longer, you know. So it's not impossible. It's just something you hear about it in the church quite often.
Wow.
But, of course, you know, with God, all things are possible.
Amen to that. With God, all things, you know, are possible.
That's right.
Friend, you're listening to Divine Intervention Radio. I'm your host, Daniel Fazina, and we are visiting with our special guest, Dennis Balcom. He is a pastor and also heads up the ministry, Revival Chinese Ministries International, RCMI.AC. Coming up, we're going to hear some more of the amazing miracle testimonies he's seen and heard about in China, and we'll talk more about his book, China's Opening Door, incredible stories of the Holy Spirit at work in one of the greatest revivals in Christianity. Stay with us on Divine Intervention Radio.
You're listening to Divine Intervention with Daniel Fazina, and we'll return in just a moment.
Hey, this is Daniel Fazina of Divine Intervention Radio. The Bible contains some incredible stories of miracles and divine interventions. Jesus calmed a raging storm, healed paralytics, and even raised the dead. But are these types of events still happening today? The answer to this question, as you will see from reading my book, Divine Intervention, 50 True Stories of God's Miracles Today, is an emphatic yes. Contained within the book is a collection of amazing true stories that attest to this fact. You will read the astonishing firsthand accounts of people who have been healed of paralysis, terminal cancer, and tumors through prayer. You'll see the love of God powerfully transform the life of an Islamic terrorist. You will witness the liberation of the demon-possessed, the resurrection of the dead, and much more. Prepare to be awed and inspired as you experience divine intervention. More information about Divine Intervention, 50 True Stories of God's Miracles Today, can be found at www.divineinterventionradio.com or by calling 800-247-4784. That's 1-800-247-4784. Times are tough, not getting easier, but there's an opportunity that could make a significant change in your financial situation. People are paying too much for home utilities, and everybody has them. Help friends and family save money and get paid for it. No obligation. You don't even have to talk to anyone unless you want to. Just listen to a 3-minute recorded message. Call now, 203-717-3124. 203-717-3124. Listen, decide, and you could be on your way to a better tomorrow. 203-717-3124.
Can't start the choir without your part. Lift God's name higher, even if you're not dancing with the heart.
Hi, this is Jay Jackson, lead singer for Apologetics, that Christian parody band, and you're listening to Divine Intervention Radio with our good friend Daniel Fazina.
Welcome back to Divine Intervention Radio. I'm your host, Daniel Fazina, and we have been visiting with our special guest, Dennis Balcom, who is a missionary to China, and he also is an author. He's got his latest book is called China's Opening Door, Incredible Stories of the Holy Spirit at Work in One of the Greatest Revivals in Christianity. And friend, this book is full of miracle testimonies, from the dead being raised to the lame walking, to the blind seeing and the deaf hearing. Just amazing things that God is doing over there in China. His website is rcmi.ac. And welcome back, Dennis.
Thank you very much.
Not a problem. So before the break, we were discussing some of the amazing miracles you've witnessed and just how the church is now flourishing in China and growing. And the persecution has actually eased off a bit. And you know, one of the changes that you mentioned is that there's kind of been a revival in the official three-self patriotic church, which is the government-controlled or maybe formerly government-controlled church. I don't know. But you can tell us maybe about what is going on there and what God is doing in that official church movement.
Yeah, so this is really a miracle. You know, China being a communist state doesn't have the freedoms that we have in the United States and other Western nations. So in the early 50s, they set up an official church called the Three Self, I mean, self-supporting, self-propagating, and self-governing, which really, it wasn't at all completely run by the Christians. It was under the control of the Communist Party. And in the early days, until just a few years ago, they were controlled about what they could say and could not say. They could not preach about the Second Coming, about the resurrection of Christ, about anything about the end time, like the Book of Daniel and the Book of Revelation. They could not pray for the sick or, you know, speak in tongues or do miracles. They could not even teach children under 18 years old were not allowed to be baptized. But what's happened in the last maybe 10 or 15 years is there's been a major change in which the government is lifting those restrictions. And as long as they're not involved in criticizing the government or preaching politics or promoting independence for Taiwan or whatever, you know, they can basically preach what they want. And the amazing thing is a lot of them have seen the house churches, which have been illegal for such a long time, exploding with growth. You know, thousands of young people. Every city has thousands and thousands of these health churches. They may not be large. Each of them may be a few dozen, a few hundred people. But they're exploding with growth. And they know the reason is because they're spirit-filled. Mm. And, you know, they have worship and praise. And so now these three self-pastors that I know, many of them personally, they come to Hong Kong to attend our conferences in Hong Kong, or I visit them somewhere in China. They ask me and my church and team to go and to teach on the Holy Spirit and worship and praise. And I was just in a three-stop church last week, you know, and about 1,000 people. And I taught all the leaders for 3 days, you know, how to be filled with the Holy Spirit, how to prophesy, you know, how to heal the sick. And this is really amazing because every city in China has many of these large churches, and each of them have thousands of people coming. You know, they may have multiple services, and each building sits up to 1,000 people, so they may have like 5,000 or 6,000 come every weekend. And this is really a change. It's not all of them, but a certain portion of them now are opening to the Holy Spirit because they want revival. They realize without the Holy Spirit and the presence of God, you cannot keep people in church, you know. Same thing as the West, these dead traditional churches are losing people left and right, whereas spirit-filled churches are exploding with growth. And so this has been a real change, and my book talks about that. And that's something, you read a lot of books about China, a lot of information, and they're great, but they're outdated. This book actually has what's happening right now in the year 2014.
That's amazing. And again, his book is called China's Opening Door, Incredible Stories of the Holy Spirit at Work in One of the Greatest Revivals in History. And what Dennis Balcom says is true. This book is chock full of amazing testimonies and also an interesting history of China, not only just from the politics, but also from the church and from an insider's perspective. Dennis has been in China for many years, and he's known a lot of the key leaders as well. And it's a very inspirational and informational book, so I highly recommend you check it out. You can check out his website, rcmi.ac, that stands for Revival Chinese Ministries International. So, Dennis, what do you think is, in your opinion, one of the greatest motivators or motivating factors that is changing the Chinese landscape and culture right now? I mean, you're saying that the persecution is easing off. Why do you think that is?
Well, the government, of course, is trying to build a nation based upon the rule of law. And now still China is in no way as free as our nations are. There's still restrictions on missionary activity, the internet, and other things are heavily censored. But they're really concerned about things that would cause instability. And the main thing is like some pro-democracy movement, you know, they're very strict about that, so they don't have multi-party elections like we have in America. But the other thing is there's a lot of cults and false teaching. See, China is like a great spiritual vacuum. You know, communism kind of defeats itself, you know, because people know there's a God. They say there's no God, but they know there's a God. And with communism wiped out all the other religions, and so people are looking for something to believe in. You know, now Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses, and then there's a cult in China called Eastern Lightning. It's kind of crazy. They have a woman Christ, but they're very vicious, and they kidnap people.
And oh, my gosh.
Sex to induce people, yeah. And that's growing in China. See, so this is the reason that first of all, you know, it's a danger for all of us because cults, you know, they brainwash people, and then it makes it bad for the church because quite often the government can't distinguish between what is a cult and a house church, you know, because most of these they meet in secret. But it's an opportunity for us, and so I'm kind of, in my book I talk about that we have a relationship with the government because we know how to help them when it comes to cults. You know, we teach the truth, we can, you know, give information about what the cults are doing so they can expose these people that try to infiltrate. So in a way it's kind of like good that I can now work with the Chinese government and going almost like a missionary because, you know, they know we teach the truth. They've actually come to our church. We've invited the communists to come to Hong Kong, and, you know, they visit our service, and they said, you're an Orthodox, spirit-filled, charismatic Pentecostal church. The most thing is that we're Orthodox. We're not some cult. Hmm. So then they invite me to go, and I can teach the leaders in China how to be aware of these cults and present Christianity because they need religion that works, not a religion that's going to cause confusion and all kinds of controversy. And I think they look to us as having that answer for their problems.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but you're based out of Hong Kong, is that right?
Hong Kong is now a special treaty breaching of China since 1997. It used to be a British colony.
Right. And your ministry is based there, though?
we have our church. It's called Revival Christian Church. My son-in-law, Samuel Lau, and my daughter, Sharon Lau, are the main pastors. And me and my wife, Kathy, you know, we travel a lot, especially myself, you know, and I go to China. But this is Hong Kong. It's our base, and people come here, and they take books and Bibles to China and go into China to do various kind of ministries. So Hong Kong's a great place. You know, a lot of people come to Hong Kong.
Right.
Complete freedom, you know. It's only 30 minutes by the train, and you're in China from Hong Kong.
That's awesome. And I wanted to ask you about the strategic value of Hong Kong, especially after, you know, it was transferred back to China in 1997. I mean, prior to that time, yes. Hong Kong was open. You had missionaries, you had churches and that. And how has that transition affected maybe the spiritual atmosphere or the access that missionaries had to go into mainland China?
Yeah, well, actually, in a way, Hong Kong is more free when it comes to gospel ministry than it was before 1997.
Hmm.
See, like people like us, when China took over Hong Kong, they don't like to use the word took over. They say when Hong Kong returned to China in 1997, because it was a part of China before the British came in 1842. But then what the Chinese did was give us permanent citizenship and residence in Hong Kong. We don't need a visa. We can never be denied entry. We can never be kicked out, which is very rare for missionaries anywhere in the world. You know, when you're here, they cannot make you leave Hong Kong. And then you still need a visa for China, but there's literally hundreds, if not thousands, of missionaries, both Chinese and Western missionaries, that use Hong Kong as a base. And then, of course, a lot of people come to Hong Kong because they do shopping, they do visiting every day. There's some 250,000 people come. I think last year they had up to 50 million people come to visit Hong Kong from China. But a lot are Christians, and they come and they attend our church or conferences, or else we preach the gospel to the people that come from China in Hong Kong, because they maybe can't hear it in China so easily, but they can hear it in Hong Kong. So really having Hong Kong revert to China was God's way of blessing all of China.
That is awesome. I love that. I remember back in the mid-90s when it was coming time for the lease to be expired on Hong Kong, many people were afraid, and they were leaving Hong Kong for fear of the Chinese, you know, the communist takeover, and, you know, there was a lot of uncertainty there. But I'm glad that God used that for His glory, and He used that for an open door, really, for a lot of things. You know, Dennis, one of the other fascinating things I find about the Chinese culture, and maybe you can talk to this as well, is that the gospel story seems to be embedded in their language, in their written language.
Yes.
I just found that absolutely fascinating. I learned some of that from your book, China's Opening Door, and I also saw a couple of lectures on that. In China, you know, Chinese is a very ancient culture. Can you speak about that? Like, how is God's story written throughout the Chinese culture and language?
Yes. Well, this is very interesting because it's really the reason we're seeing this revival, because the Chinese are going back to their roots. Now, you know, we call the Chinese the Jews of Asia or the Jews of the Orient because of the way they do business. A lot of their family values are actually very close to the people in Israel, to the Jewish people. But there's only two groups of people that from the very beginning of their nation were monotheistic and believed in the one true God, and that is the Jewish people and the Chinese people. Now, we believe that they were righteous immigrants that left the Tower of Babel, you know, Nimrod and his rebellion, and came and started a new monotheistic religion in China, you know, a long, long time ago, thousands of years ago. Now, we know this by a lot of historical records, but by the language. So the language of characters, we don't have an alphabet in Chinese. You know, we use pictures. They're called characters.
Right.
You can see hundreds and hundreds of characters that prove the early Chinese knew God. And they had animal sacrifices, like the character for righteousness is a picture of the lamb over the character for me, myself. So Jesus, the lamb, makes me righteous when I believe in him. And you can see the character like Paul forbid. You see the two trees of the Garden of Eden, then God is underneath that. So God says you're forbidden to eat of the fruit of the tree. Then you substitute the character for God for woman, and it means to covet. So you have the two trees and covet. This is Eve coveted after the fruit. And in the picture for boat or ship, you can see a picture of Noah's Ark. You can see eight people in a vessel that floats on water. And you can basically preach the whole 11 chapters of Genesis every single verse from the Chinese characters, because you see, they knew about that from their history, and that's the reason they're going back to God, because that's their original belief. See, Buddhism only came around the time of Christ 2,000 years ago, but if we go back, 4,000 or 5,000 years ago, we have a monotheistic nation that believes in one true God, that animal sacrifices where they tried to please God with the blood of the lambs and the bullocks. Mm. And so, and I show this to the Chinese people, they say, hey, oh, that's true. They look at the characters, but when you tell them that, they can see the revelation, and that's one of the ways that I use to evangelize, especially intellectuals, because I'm quite well in the language, I'm very fluent in it, and I know the old style, you know, the characters, and I can even write it. So they're so amazed, because they're a foreigner, can speak their language and knows the old characters, but also I show them, hey, you see, this is the Bible in your language. It's really amazing.
That is amazing. It's fascinating. And not only do they have all those words and characters in there, but correct me if I'm wrong, but don't they also have a global flood legend in their culture?
Yes. So the character for ship, you see eight people that are in a vessel that are saved by water, and you can see another dozen or so characters that have to do with that particular incident that proves that they knew there was a global flood going way, way back. Now, this came from, of course, from the history, because they, you know, were the early Chinese were only so many generations removed from Adam, because they were part of the early part of the human race.
That is amazing. Wow. Fascinating stuff. Friend, yes. I am your host, Daniel Fazina. You're listening to Divine Intervention Radio, and we are visiting with our special guest, Dennis Balcom, and he is talking about some of the amazing things God is doing in and through the Chinese culture. His book is called China's Opening Door, Incredible Stories of the Holy Spirit at Work in One of the Greatest Revivals in Christianity. I highly recommend you pick up a copy of this book, as it is full of amazing miracle testimonies. And not only that, but it's very informative about the history of China, not only politically, but also the history of the church in China and the moves of God over there. You can check out his website at rcmi.ac. RCMI.AC, Revival Chinese Ministries. Dennis, tell me more about the culture and the political climate right now. What are you doing, and what is God doing right now in China, and what's the state of the church over there? I mean, do you have any idea how many believers there are in China now?
Well, nobody really knows for sure. There's estimates from 70 million to 105 or 110 million, but probably accurately it's about little over 9% of the population.
Okay.
And the church could be growing by 20 to 30,000 people every single day, because the churches are evangelizing. Now, there has been some pressure against the churches in the last few months. There's a place called Wenzhou, which is in the coastal part of China, where there's been hundreds of churches where they've taken down the crosses. Now, the crosses were very large, and the government said they were not authorized to have such large crosses. And there's a few churches that had been demolished because the government said they were built on, like, farmland. They didn't have the legal permits, you know. We don't know. But it seems like there is a little bit of pressure coming against churches and Christians right now. But in a way, that's good, you know, because it kind of weeds out the true from the false, you know. And and the government is, of course, concerned about cults, and this could be one reason that they're investigating Christians more. So, you know, I want to be truthful. I said there's complete freedom of China. Actually, in the last year or so, we've seen a lot of pressure. But I think the general term for China is for more and more opening. And the good thing now is that in the last several years, a lot of businessmen, people in the marketplace, a lot of intellectuals, a lot of students, and even a small percentage of people in the government are coming to know Jesus Christ. Mm. So before, you know, when I first went to China in the 80s, it was mostly farmers and uneducated people. And they're wonderful, and they're the majority of the people in China. But now you'll go into the cities, and you'll see hundreds and hundreds of these groups where you have intellectuals and students and business people. You know, some are very successful businessmen. So, you know, this thing about marketplace ministry is really having an impact on China. And that's what's basically happening right now, which gives me a lot of hope for the future of the church in China.
Oh, I'm so excited to hear that. I've been doing a lot of studies on marketplace ministry myself right now, and how I think God is calling his people to something greater than what they've been experiencing. I don't think God necessarily needs us to be impoverished or poor. I think we have a lot more influence when we can succeed in business and live out the gospel through business. And it's, you know, Chinese people have a reputation of being entrepreneurs, and a lot of successful business people here. I mean, they come to America and they start successful businesses. So if God can, you know, use them through that, that's you know, all the better, I think.
And also, there's a real opening to for the family and for, you know, moral values. Like a friend of mine, Gregory Stanton, he used to be an ambassador to Bermuda. Well, he wrote a book on being a good father. And this book has been translated into Chinese, and now it's being sold to the official government printing press, you know, publishers. And it's full of the Bible. It's full of, you know, stories and testimonies and scriptures about how to be a good father, how to have a solid family. And this is amazing because, see, they realize, you know, divorce and the breaking down of the family is such a big problem in China. You know, a lot of prostitution, there's millions of prostitutes, you know, and drug addiction. And the problem is because you don't have the fathers at home. We don't have good, solid families. And see, the fact the government is now coming to my friend and saying, we need this book, you know, we need this message. And he goes around speaking all over China, you know, just about the family. And this is one way that we can actually get the gospel without just, you know, the old way of having evangelical meeting and preaching, you know, about the cross. Well, you preach about the cross, but you begin with some area that, you know, they need help in, you know, like a business and integrity and management and morals and family values. And this is what the Chinese really see that Christianity can provide for them.
Oh, that is amazing. Awesome stuff. Yeah, I guess you see a need and you fill it. You know, and with that, and if you can get the gospel in there, even better. Again, friend, you're listening to Divine Intervention Radio. I'm your host, Daniel Fazina. We're visiting with our special guest, Dennis Balcom, and he's talking about his new book, China's Opening Door, Incredible Stories of the Holy Spirit at Work in One of the Greatest Revivals in Christianity. Dennis, I want to ask you, why did you write this book, China's Opening Door, and what do you hope that the readers will take away from it?
Well, I want to tell my story. You know, when I was young, it was in the Vietnam War and the riots in America and, you know, the hippie and the flower movement and everything. You know, and I, at that time, I was called to be a missionary. And I'm glad that I went to the mission field. And this is a story of a young man, you know, nothing really. I didn't speak Chinese, had no contacts, didn't have much money. But God called me to go to the mission field. And I think that missions is number one in everything today, you know. Still, most of the people in the world haven't heard the gospel. And there's places like Europe where we're in the post-Christian era where, you know, people grown up without any knowledge of God whatsoever, though it's called Christian Nation. And I just pray that young people, anyone, will read this book, and because we need an army of missionaries, not just to China, but every part of the world, you know, even our own nation. We need people to go out and preach the gospel. And basically, the reason I wrote this book is there's been so much negative things about the persecution and suffering, and you know, then a lot of preaching is about Armageddon and the end of the world. And I want to give people a hope that this is a time of harvest. It's a time of revival. And we need missionaries. We need people to go, you know. So basically saying, hey, China's open, you know, Russia's open, you know, South America. There's so much that can be done, but we need people with a vision. And I just want to share my vision the Lord gave to me and pray that other people have similar visions to go to preach the gospel.
Wow. Yeah, there is quite a need. You know, Jesus said that the harvest is plentiful, yes, but the workers are few.
That's
so,
right.
Friend, if you're listening out there, and maybe God is talking to you, maybe you feel like God is calling you to be a missionary, wherever that might be, I encourage you to take that step of faith, you know, pray to Him, ask Him to reveal that place, and what they say, pray and move your feet. You know, take one baby step, you know, contact a missionary organization or call a missionary, talk to them, try and get some ideas, and I would encourage you just to step out of the boat and see where God leads you. Dennis, if there's a young person listening who may be feeling a calling, but they just don't know where or how to get started, what would you advise them to do as far as the first step to become a missionary?
Well, take some short-term mission trip and kind of explore the land, you know, like the spies when they went into Canaan, but do it with faith. Be a Joshua or Caleb. Don't look at the giants, but look at the promise. See, like we have a ministry, people can get on our website, where people come all the time, almost every week, to take Bibles and books into China, because most of the people in China don't have the Bible. Even some Christians don't have the Bible. And, you know, so we provide you Bibles and some good teaching books like the Shepherd's Staff, that's mentioned in my book. And you can come and take a trip to China. It's not illegal. You won't get in trouble or go to prison, you know. And you'll find excitement, you know, and meet some Christians in China and meet some non-Christians and share about your faith. See, so this is what a young person can do. You know, it's really not that expensive, you know. I mean, every day there's many, many flights directly from the States to Hong Kong. And, you know, we can get your visa and everything. And just take a trip to China. If you're too far, go to Mexico, you know, go to some other place. But I think, you know, people need to get out and go to the churches and the missionaries on the foreign field and provide whatever service you can be. And then quite often through that, you'll see the people and the needs, and then God will give you a call. At least the very very least, you go back and, you know, pray and support these ministries. Because really, around the world, we need more missionaries. We need more support for what missionaries are doing.
That's awesome. Great advice from Dennis Balcom, missionary to China. Again, his website, rcmi.ac. I guess I want to finish out on a very positive, uplifting note. We've talked about the needs, and we talked about what God is doing, which is great. In your years of ministry there, what are maybe one or two of the most amazing, awesome, jaw-dropping miracles you've ever personally witnessed or experienced? Tell us a couple of those stories.
Well, we've been in places where the Holy Spirit came in multiple healings, you know, so many you can't even begin to describe. Cripples are walking, blind eyes are being opened. I prayed recently for a couple that were involved actually in the sex industry that had AIDS. They came to the church, and the Lord completely healed this man and his girlfriend who came to our church, you know, and they were only given like weeks to live, and God completely healed them. So, you know, I've seen, there's so many, you know, you had to read my book, you know, I can't say any particular one, but, you know, when I talk to people, I said, why did you become a Christian? They said, because of the miracles, you see. And we've seen so many of these miracles, people being set free from demonic possession and these kind of things. And that's what I want to really see, true revival, where the Holy Spirit is moving and confirming the word with signs following. So, you know, to me, I've seen. But I think, you know, we still say having a soul saved from sin and redeemed from the power of Satan is one of the greatest miracles. But to me, the fact that China even opened is a great miracle. Mm-hmm. You know, you read my book and how God led, you know, in the political movement of China, Deng Xiaoping opened China in 1978. It could still be like North Korea. It could be like, you know, some other nations. But this, in fact, is that's what the title is, China's opening door. You know, this lastly, the scripture, you know, where God says of the Church of Philadelphia in Revelation, he said, I am he that has the key of David, and I shut and no man's opens and no man shut. He said, behold, I have given you an open door, and no man can shut it. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, we're living not in the time of closing doors, not in the time of, you know, a lot of Antichrist and Armageddon talk. We're living in the time of the opening doors until the gospel is going to be preached to all the world.
Amen. Well, Dennis, I want to thank you so much for taking the time out to share your awesome testimony on divine intervention and to share what the Lord is doing through you and your ministry, Revival Chinese Ministries International in China. So thank you again, sir. I appreciate you.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
Not a problem. Well, friend, that about does it for this episode of Divine Intervention. Once again, Dennis Balcom's book, China's Opening Door, Incredible Stories of the Holy Spirit at Work in One of the Greatest Revivals in Christianity. His website is rcmi.ac, and we'll also post a link to it on our website, divineinterventionradio.com. I hope this episode has encouraged you to know that God is real and still working in the world today. Take care, and God bless.
You've been listening to Divine Intervention with your host, Daniel Fazina. You can email Daniel at divineintervention@mail.com. That's divineintervention@mail.com. All programs of Divine Intervention are available online at divineinterventionradio.com. That's divineinterventionradio.com. Join us next time here on Divine Intervention.